Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Friends of Kevin Radio Show. The Friends of Kevin Radio Show helps promote businesses, nonprofits, and artists. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, send me an email to kevin@friendsofkevin.com. To learn more about the Friends of Kevin Networking Group and to see a list of upcoming events, please visit the website at friendsofkevin.com. So excited to get my longtime friend Jack Wang from Longhorn Financial with us today. Got to talk a little bit about retirement accounts. As always, please remember Jack's joining the show for informational purposes. Should not be construed as financial advice. As always, seek a qualified financial person before you make any decisions in your life. Hey, Jack, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kevin, thanks for having me on.
So let's talk a little bit about retirement accounts because, you know, we're coming into the end of the year. What are some of the things people should remember?
Yeah, lots to remember with year-end stuff with retirement accounts. First and foremost, you know, for those who are working, the deadline to contribute to an IRA, whether it's traditional Roth, is actually not year-end, but in fact, it's actually as of the tax filing date, which will be April 15th of 2019. And the contribution limits for the tax year of 2018 is $5,500. $5,500, or if you're over 50, there's an extra $1,000 catch-up, so it allows you to contribute $6,500. However, you know, a lot of people are also covered by workplace retirement plans, your 401ks, 403bs, and such. The contribution limit for 2018 is the end of the year 2018, right? So either you have to, if you want to contribute more, you have to bump up your payroll contribution limit, right, because that's how money gets in, or, for example, if you're self-employed or whatever and you need to make a contribution, those do need to get in by year end. One thing also to note is that rollovers, I did have someone ask me this recently, so, for example, if they want to roll over a 401k to an IRA, do you have to accomplish that by year end? The answer to that is no. Rollovers are sort of the exception to this. That's money already contributed in years past. You can do that. You know, there may be very good reasons of why you want to do it by year end, but there's no regulatory deadline for it to be done by year end.
Now, Jack, how about for people who are already retired? What do they have to think about?
Yeah, lots and lots of stuff here. So if someone is already retired and you have IRAs or 401ks, now, keep in mind, IRAs and 401ks are different. They do have slightly different rules, but just talking about them in general, kind of where they tend to overlap, is that number one is that you want to take your required minimum distribution, or RMD, by year end. But RMDs are required after you turn officially it's required by the April after you turn 70 and a half. So let me give you an example. So if you turn 70 and a half, right? So Kevin, if you just turned 70 and a half in 2018, then you don't actually have to take your first requirement distribution until April of next year, which is April 2019, it's the April after you turn 70 and a half. Okay, that's all well and good. I think most people know that. However, where people do get caught is if you wait till the April of after you turn 70 and a half, so in our example, April of 2019, you actually have to take out two distributions in calendar year 2019. One by April, really to make up for 2018, and then your 2019 distribution. So it may be worthwhile to actually take some money before that date, you know, before the April after 70 and a half, just so you don't have to take two in 1 year. That allows people to do some tax planning, what have you. But that's the official rule. But the main thing is you do want to get it out if you need to get RMDs out. With 401ks, it's a little bit different. 401ks, you can actually wait until the 70 and a half, the April, you know, after you turn 70 and a half, or when you actually retire. So if you work for a company, you have a 401k, and you're still working, and you're 75, you actually do not need to take any money out of that employer's 401k yet, but you would still in an IRA-type situation.
So now, Jack, does somebody calculate this for us? Like if we have an IRA, if it's at a bank, does the bank calculate the RMD for us and tell us what we need to take?
Well, if you have a great bank, they do. Actually, most financial institutions, they will send you a worksheet, or most of them tend to give you an approximate amount. And the way it's calculated is actually very simple, is you actually take your prior year end balance. So, for example, if you need to take out your RMD for 2018, you would actually use the account balance as of the end of 2017 divided by a what's called a life expectancy divisor. You actually look that up in the IRS tables. And so basically it's your year-end 2017 balance divided by whatever number. And as you age, that number gets smaller. I think, yeah, smaller. I always get the messed up. It always gets smaller so that each year you have to take a little bit more out. So yep. For those people who are worried about, well, but the stock market did this and the bond market did that and the interest rate did the other thing, my investments aren't worth, none of that matters in 2018 because the account balance uses as of the end of 2017. All the stuff that happened in 2018, markets going up or down or sideways, that'll impact your 2019 distribution.
That makes sense and stuff. Because I find a lot of people forget about this, Jack. You know, even they get the, you know, the information, you kind of put it away. What happens if you just blow it off and don't do it?
Yeah, lots of traps here in the IRS. The regulations are so, so complicated. And this is where people end up paying a lot in penalties that they don't have to. So if you fail to take your RMD in time, all right, the penalty for the IRS is actually 50% or 50% of whatever you were supposed to take out. So if you were supposed to take out $1,000, just, you know, hypothetically, your penalty for not doing that is $500. That's a big hit. Right. So they're not messing around. You got to do this. Even Roth IRAs, Roth 401ks have requirement distribution rules. The only retirement account, common retirement account that does not have requirement distribution rules for the original owner is actually a Roth IRA. That doesn't mean you don't have to take, that doesn't mean you don't necessarily, shouldn't take the money out, you're just not required to. But yeah, that penalty is a big hit, 50%. In fact, I've run into situations where the beneficiary forgot to take out, and I had a client, I think the total was maybe like $6,000 or $7,000, and they were going to look at a penalty of like something in the $3,000 to $4,000 range had we not caught it in time. So that, again, it's a lot of money that if you don't have to pay it, you probably don't want to.
So now, Jack, how about if you're in a situation where you simply just don't need the money, you're still working or whatever may be the situation, what do you suggest for people who find themselves in that lucky situation?
Yeah, you know, number one, yeah, exactly. You'd be lucky in that situation, right? Hey, I don't need the money. I got so much, I don't need the money. If you have to take money out because of RMD, one thing you can do is, if you are charitably inclined, is you can do what's called a qualified charitable distribution that can take the place of your RMD in a given year. And that you can do one, a qualified charitable distribution of up to $100,000. Here's the trick though, okay? When you do this, you have to have the IRA company send the money directly to the charity. So it can't pass through your hands first, because if it does, right, if you take the money out, again, up to $100,000, and you take it as income first, and that increases your income, and then even if you turn right around and pay it to the charity, you know, you might not get a charitable deduction, especially this year with the changing tax rules, or your income will be higher, and that might trip some of the thresholds for, like, various phase outs, deduction phase outs, and things like that. So the way this works is you can do it, but it must go directly from IRA to charity. The nice part about it is, you know, so let's say if you had a $10,000 requirement distribution, and instead you did a $10,000 charitable, you know, direct charitable contribution, the contribution would offset how much you had to take out in RMD. So you wouldn't end up having to take anything else beyond that. So it's kind of nice that way.
So now, how about if someone inherited an IRA or a 401k? Anything special they need to do?
Yeah, this is the one. This is definitely the area where people get confused. It's confusing for financial professionals and tax people. The general rules of thumb. If the beneficiary is a spouse, so you know, I pass away, I leave my IRA to my spouse. Spouses have more choices as beneficiary. They can even roll my IRA or that IRA into their own IRA. But non-spouses, so kids, grandkids, aunts, uncles, cousins, whatever, brothers, sisters, they cannot. So, you know, a couple rules. If the person who passed away, if they were over 70 and a half and had started their required minimum distributions, then before any money can go to the beneficiaries, you have to take that required minimum distribution for that year out first. After that, then the beneficiaries can split the account. And why you want to do that is because each beneficiary would then have what's called a beneficial IRA, and they can take the money out based on their own age. Their RMDs would be based on their age. So if you had a 20-year-old, right, I mean, that money could stay in there for a long time. If you keep it together in one big account, but let's say you have three beneficiaries, like three kids, then the RMD is based on the age of the oldest of the three beneficiaries, or oldest of out of however many beneficiaries you are. So that way, again, you might end up having to take more money out than you really have to, or than you wanted to. But here's the thing that really gets people, is because non-spouse beneficiaries cannot roll that money into their own IRA, okay, not everybody knows that. So they'll say, oh, you know, I inherited an IRA from my grandmother. I'll just roll into my own IRA and have one big IRA. Well, under the rules, they're not allowed to do that. So when they take that inherited IRA and put it into their own, again, depending on how much it is, that could be deemed an excess contribution. You've put in too much for the year. And then, of course, like all good things, IRS, there's a penalty for that as well. So if you put in too much, whatever the excess part is, that the penalty for that is actually 6% per year until you take that excess out. So very common area where people end up paying a lot of taxes for really no reason, and that's just some of the traps.
So now I'm sure some people look at this and say, hey, this is kind of complex. Why doesn't the beneficiary just take all the money out and just be done with it?
Yeah, exactly. Hear that all the time, right? Why just take the money out? I'm going to spend it on buy a new car anyway, whatever, just done. One of the reasons you don't want to do that is because, yes, you have to take out the RMDs. Yes, it's taxable income, but you might have a situation where if you leave the money in there and it can grow, then depending on the age of the beneficiary, that money could be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, over the long term. So, yeah, you inherited whatever, and great, that's money good for today, but the big picture is that it really could be worth a lot more. So just a perfect example of that, I have a client where his grandmother left him some money, and we've only taken out the RMDs, but we've managed to get that account growing. He's taken several years of RMDs, but his account is still worth the amount we started with. But in the meantime, he's taken money out. So it's a good deal for him.
Yep. Jack, you got about 40 seconds left. Let's grab your contact information before you run.
Yeah, people can always email me at jack@longhornfin.com, or they can visit my Facebook page at facebook.com/longhornfin.
Jack, appreciate you taking the time out of day to call on the show. And as always, thanks for being my friend.
Awesome. Thank you, Kevin.
Have a good day. Bye now.
Sure.
You've been there, right? You put on that jacket you haven't worn in like 6 months. Reach into the pocket and find a McCafe brewed coffee. Well, not really, but there is a crumpled old dollar in there. And on McDonald's 1-2-3 dollar menu, that's the price of any size McCafe brewed coffee or a savory sausage biscuit. Oh, and check the other pocket, too. Could be a tasty sausage McMuffin in there. Find more $1 breakfast favorites on the $1-$2-$3 menu at McDonald's. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Tax extra.
Unwrap some holiday cheer this season with scratch tickets from the Mass Lottery. Holiday cheer tickets are on sale now with grand prizes from $10,000 to $1 million. For the best chance to win a prize from $50 to $500, try the limited edition Holiday Cash Blowout Ticket. And from now to January 8th, enter any non-winning Holiday Cheer or Holiday Cash Blowout Ticket into our special Holiday Second Chance Drawing, and you could win up to $10,000. Details at endholidayfatigue.com. Must be 18 or older to play. Please play responsibly.